And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. If you're listening to my show, you're looking for tips on how to work smarter, not harder. And let's be real, you're already working hard to earn your money, but how do you make sure that your money is working hard for you? Here's how. With a Betterment automated investment and savings app, your money will go to work. They've got technology that will provide you with advanced tools, and they're built to help maximize your returns, not to mention your time. They have expert-built portfolios of low-cost exchange-traded funds. You know I love those exchange-traded funds. There's automated investing technology, and as part of that, automated rebalancing. Many of you have been asking about rebalancing, and it sort of feels like a hard thing to do on your own. With Betterment, easy peasy. They do it for you. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the Jill on Money podcast. It's Wednesday, July 7th, and all week long, our vacation week, I might add, we are featuring your questions and hearing your voices on the air. If you'd like to join us anytime, just send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com, askjill@jillonmoney.com, or if you're on the website, click the contact button on the jillonmoney.com website. Here today, we are talking to Jeff from Georgia with an age-old question, trying to time the market.
I'm 52 years old. Mm-hmm. I've got a net worth of about $1.7 million.
Ding, ding, ding. Great job.
Bing, bing, bing. Yep. Zero debt. Mm-hmm. Within retirement accounts, between my wife and I, we probably have about $750,000 in IRAs, 401ks, that type of thing.
Okay.
And so, seeing where the markets are going right now, they've been up. Now, I believe there's probably a correction at some point in time, but you know, who knows when and how big. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I was thinking about, and this would be maybe a little bit of a speculative play, not something I usually would do, but say out of the $750,000, take some of that, say about $100,000, put it in cash, and park it in, keep it in one of the 401ks or whatever it may be, until this, you know, correction that may be on the horizon happens, and then throw it back in the market then.
Okay. Little market timing for you. Okay.
Right, which is not anything I have done in the past.
Yep. How much is in stock versus bond versus any other asset class right now?
I got about $350,000 in maybe $400,000 in real estate.
Okay.
So that's my personal home and some rental properties.
Okay.
The rest of it is, we've then got about another $60,000 just in pure cash.
Yep.
And then the rest of it is in just mostly probably equities.
Yep.
But in a number of my IRA accounts, And 401ks. I've got those. I forgot what you actually call them, but they're the target.
Oh, target date funds. Sure. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So most of the retirement accounts are in those types of investments. Mm-hmm. And if they're not, then they're in an index fund.
Okay. So in the target date funds, do you have them in the target date of your real retirement, or do you have something earlier? In other words, would the target date fund be, say, I don't know, I'm going to make this up, 2030 for someone like
they're
you?
Mostly, I think they're mostly 2035.
Okay, gotcha.
Some of them 2030s, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and no bond positions outside of what's within the target date funds, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right, this actually makes this much easier. Let me just roll back one more layer of questions. Now, you're 52. When do you think you'd like to retire?
Yesterday.
No, really. Give me the real deal.
You know, I really don't know. You know, I had visions earlier in my career to retire in the mid-50s. Mm-hmm. And that maybe that is still the same, along those lines. But mm-hmm. I don't think I'd ever stop working. I'd have to do something just to stay sane.
Okay.
But to back out of the professional world, let's say around 60.
Okay. So 60. Let's just say 60 for the heck of it. How much money do you need to live on? What's your actual need in terms of your expenses and what you would expect during retirement? How much money each month or each year? What would you guess?
Yeah, I'm thinking, honestly, my wife and I, we could probably get by around $75,000 a year.
What's your personal residence worth?
About $250,000.
Okay. I am going to pull that out of your net worth, because that's not something that I consider to be working for you for retirement. I just presume you're going to stay there. How much does the rental property, that $150,000 worth of rental property, how much does that spin off in income for you guys?
Right now, about $1,500 a month.
Okay, great. That's fantastic. You're working currently. Are you still maxing out your retirement account?
I am.
Okay, great. And is your wife working?
No.
And you got kids?
I do.
How old?
What have I got? 24, 22, 20, and 16.
My God, you are busy. I presume 24, 22 on their own?
24 is. 22's wrapping up his last few months in college.
Okay. So the obligations you have for the kids, have you set aside money for college for them? Or is part of the money of the 1 point, let's call it 1.5-ish, none, 1.5?
None of that is for college education.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Got all that covered and other things, 529s,
you're
education statement.
Brilliant. Brilliant. When you look at the Social Security estimate, what does your estimate look like if it, give me 65, 66, 67, whatever your full retirement age is?
Gosh, those things come in the mail. And
I know you throw them out, right? It's probably, how much do you earn approximately?
So this year, my base salary is $160,000.
All right. So the chances are it's going to be somewhere around $20,000. So of the need of $75,000 a year, the good news is you got your rental income, $18,000 might be go up, might go down, but we'll call it 18. You got $20,000 will be Social Security. Some portion of that maybe also from your wife will get half of yours. So let's call it $30,000. So you're going to have a good chunk of your need taken care of. Your portfolio will be able to fill in the gap. You're going to have no problem. There's going to be one little problem, and that is that if you really do retire at 60, then you can't tap Social Security until 62. And ideally, I wouldn't even have you do that. I would have you wait till your full retirement age, and you would just fill in the gap with something, like you said, a less corporate job, a little extra cash on the side doing something. So now we're getting back to your original question, which is, hey, how do I allocate my portfolio given that I'm nervous that the market is up dramatically? I want to put a possibility out there for you that is less predicated on timing the market correctly, but more on let's have a more realistic asset allocation, given that you don't necessarily want to blow your huge gains that you've accumulated here at age 52. So what I would say is this. You got a ton of money. You got a bunch of it in some target date funds. You've got some in index funds. I would look at having the allocation look a little bit more balanced. I'm not sure you even need a target date fund. Where are you investing? Through which company?
I'm at Principal. I got Merrill Lynch. I've got Fidelity. Maybe another one.
So what I would say is this. In the accounts, I would want an allocation for someone in your situation that looked about 60% stocks, 40% safer stuff. That could be bonds, that could be cash, okay? When you look at the target date funds, you have to actually poke into that allocation and look. Every single company has a different allocation for its target date fund. So, for example, you might look at the Fidelity target date fund and it looks like you're 80-20, 80% stocks, 20% bonds. But you might look at a Merrill Lynch one and it's 60-40. So I know it's a pain in the neck, but you really should look at it. And what I would suggest is that you should be in these funds that are more 60-40. Alternatively, you can get rid of all these target date funds and just say, I'm going to take a stock index fund and a bond index fund and call it a day and use that and have 60% stock and 40% bond or cash. And if you had that kind of allocation, or even if you like a little more risk, 65-35, and you did that right now, you would basically say, I am trying to defend against something really bad happening. Here's the asterisk. I don't think you have to change that allocation even if the market were to crash. I think that that could be an allocation that would take you through markets going higher, but also going lower. And I wouldn't necessarily feel like you have to time to get back in. Because in essence, what I am seeing here, Jeff, is that you and your wife have done an amazing job of accumulating assets. You've, in fact, accumulated the assets you need. You don't even need to do anymore. What you need to do is to actually protect those assets on the downside. You want to protect what you've worked so hard to accumulate and to save. And if you pull your allocation back in terms of making it a more balanced portfolio, you don't have to worry about putting that 100 grand back to work. And I think that is a more realistic way to approach where we are right now in the marketplace. How does that sound to you?
No, that makes sense. I definitely got some homework I need to do.
Yeah.
Where I am on some of these target date funds and go from there.
Yeah. And then if you really are nervous and you really do want to just say, okay, before I do that homework, I want to put like 100 grand in cash, I'm cool with that. But then put the money back to work. The good news is if you're doing this inside of a retirement account, there's no tax liability. So that's so that's why I think it's fine to do it, at least even in the interim. Okay. So let's kind of like get things buttoned down a little bit and protect yourself. And you just keep saving and life will be very good for you, Jeff. I feel like you're great savers. Our job is to make sure you don't lose it, you know, essentially just get caught up in a euphoria on the upside or get swept in a downdraft. So let's secure this and get a portfolio you can live with in both scenarios. Well, if you'd like to join us on the air just like Jeff, all you have to do, send us your questions. Ask Jill at JillOnMoney.com. Ask Jill at JillOnMoney.com. Or from the website, as always, JillOnMoney.com. Hey, you want to check out our other podcast also? Do so. It's called Eye on Money. It's very easy, very similar. Just search, just like you search here. And if you are listening to this, maybe because you're listening on YouTube, don't forget you can subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Do me a favor. Put your hands metaphorically on someone's back today. Grit, growth, grace. We'll talk to you tomorrow.